Any TV series worth a salt always manages to end up filming at least one episode here. Even Coal Shack, the Night Stalker, 1970s TV show, had its pilot based here, with a vampire running downtown on Park Paseo at Fifth Place, where I used to live. And of course, if you've been anywhere near television over the last 10 years, you've heard of CSI, a fictionalized account of the county's coroner's office and its work. All those movies and TV shows were produced mostly by out-of-state companies, largely from Southern California. Nevada was only too happy to sit back and let them come. But then a shift started to occur over the last decade. Other states began offering tax incentives. Film companies began taking advantage of them, too. Las Vegas is known to have lost out on some film business because of that. The movie Thor, for instance, is said to have been shot in New Mexico instead of Nevada because of that state's hefty tax incentive. Now, however, Nevada has its own film incentive program set to go into effect in January. How that will change things here, but more importantly, what's already been happening in downtown Las Vegas in terms of film and TV production are the topics of this episode of the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, The Source. Now, if you're hearing voices and laughter in the background, that's because we're taping at the Gold Spike, a former hotel casino turned into something of a hotspot or clubhouse for downtown project employees. In fact, we're sitting at the bar right now, but no one is drinking. Instead, I count 8 laptops open at or around the bar with people working or gabbing with each other. Today, our first guest is Chris Ramirez, founder of Lola Pictures and Silver State Productions. He's been downtown for at least 4 years, maybe more, housed in the Emergency Arts Building at 6th and Fremont Streets. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be talking to you again.
Good to talk to you, too. Now, before we get into film, I wonder if you could tell listeners a bit about yourself. How long have you been in Vegas? What did you do before TV and film? And what turned you in this direction?
I've been in Las Vegas all my life, besides a couple of years in Southern California. But, I was raised here and grew up, went to school here.
Where'd you go to high school?
Bishop Gorman, the old one.
Downtown?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then, little stint at UNR and UNLV. Mostly been right here in Las Vegas and did quite a bit before I got into TV and film. Owned a valet company, after college that got pretty big and did some, we did a lot of security work and bouncers for clubs and whatnot. And then got into the gaming industry for a minute when Proposition 5 passed in California and was a consultant to a lot of the properties out there. And then, after that transition, had my eye towards just getting into film somehow and really didn't even know what degree or what.
Well, why? Why?
I think, not to get too deep into male psycho, you want to find something that is fulfilling to you. And I think all the things, I'd done quite a bit. I've always worked since I was in high school. My first job was right around the corner as a lifeguard at the Golden Nugget at 14. And so I've just done a million things. I think it's because of that I knew I was looking to do something that I actually wanted to be doing. And I didn't know anything else that was interesting to me, but somehow film. I've just always been you're about my age, and those of us that grew up with Star Wars and Indiana Jones and kind of, what we would call the golden age of cinema and blockbusters, I think, that was just big in my life. So I think when I just did some searching on, hey, if I'm going to put all this work into stuff and time, it should be something that I want to do. And I guess when I narrowed it down, film was it.
So what was the Lola Pictures, Silver State Productions downtown, was that your first... just jump into it? And was that 4 years ago, or what did you do?
No, it's funny. Everything comes back downtown. I ran into an old Gorman friend, Trent Othick, at Odyssey Records that used to be across from Olympic Garden. And, he was just visiting back from L.A.
Again, but if people don't know, Olympic Garden is vegetable shop.
And I just say, hey, what are you up to? And he's like, oh, I'm living in L.A., working for a producer, and that just stuck with me. And so I bugged him for a couple of years. And hey, can you get me in? Hey, how do I get into the industry? And just had to keep... grinding out and taking odd jobs in the meantime. And finally, Trent, in 2003 or 2004, Trent came back to Las Vegas and did two movies, one Standing Still with Amy Adams and Colin Hanks and a really good cast, and then one called Vegas Baby with, you know, like Donald Faison and Cal Penn and some and so, and both were backed by the Fertittas, who own the stations, casinos, and the UFCs, and old friends of our family. And so it just kind of came full circle. Like, he finally came back here to do a movie and said, hey, you know, I'm back. Do you want to work on this movie? And I had to kind of prove my chops. I had to, like, meet with his line producer, which I didn't even know what a line producer was, and said, what do you want to do? And I was like, you know, at this point, I'd owned my own company. I'd done all these jobs. But when he asked me that question, I didn't know one job in on a movie set. And so I just kind of blanked it. And he almost didn't hire me. He got up and walked away and said, I'm not your career counselor. Figure it out.
Really?
Yeah. And he's a big, he's a pretty big producer in the indie film business. And so I just chased after him and chased after him and just said, I mean, I'll do anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, so they hired me on that movie, and then I became Trent's assistant after those movies were finished. And so I got a good lesson and introduction into the development side of the business and you know, financing. And he was repped, you know, at CAA and had movies with Universal and Weinstein. And so, you know, it was for a small company, it was called Insomnia, for a small company in Las Vegas, we were doing real things in LA, and that's tough to come by. So, you know, on that note, I was just really fortunate. Like, the persistence could have got me in the door with somebody who was just barely doing it, but luckily it got me in with somebody who really, you know, gave me a good education.
So it's been at least a decade.
Yeah,
just under a decade.
Yeah.
And then downtown, you moved into downtown Vegas when it was something, still something of a hellhole. The Beat and Emergency Arts had just opened.
We were one of the first tenants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at that time, it wasn't uncommon to see thugs walking around. I was mugged just a couple of months before you moved in. Was it the cheap rent? What was it about downtown?
I mean, downtown itself has never, I've never given it a second thought as far as worrisome or thugs or crime.
But you could have gone into one of the industrial parks and done exactly the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I almost did. I was this at that time. So this was 2009, 2010. That time when, you know, now, you know, I'd started my own company called Lola Pictures, and besides trying to develop some of our own projects, I was taking a lot of jobs. You know, like The Hangover and Race to Witch Mountain and commercials, and so I was getting, you know, fairly busy as a freelancer, and as I was filming a couple of times downtown, an A&E show with Bob Saget, to be specific, that was a good one. Jennifer Cornthwaite was an old friend of mine, and she was helping me with getting me into some bars and getting me into some places downtown that I used to always hang out with. And I was already going to the Griffin and Beauty Bar and whatnot. And so it was, you know, on some of those filmings that Jennifer was building Emergency Arts and just said, why don't you move in here? And we did, you know, long story short. I mean, I didn't really, you know, get it at first, but I just said, screw it, I'll move in here.
What do you mean, get it?
I didn't know what she was really doing. I mean, that was, you know, pretty pioneering for Las Vegas in general, and so
right, to have anything really,
yeah,
Fremont,
well, and
like
not
coffee
even,
shop
and really just the concept, not, right. And not even the area, just the concept of, mm-hmm, a bunch of people working in a building together. To me, in fact, was my first reaction was adverse. I was like, I was so private. I was so, you know, I was developing. I had a show I was trying to get going at Lionsgate, and I had reality ideas that were very proprietary. And so the idea of being around people was so frightening to me and so not the norm. And so I resisted against it. And one thing always stuck with me, Jennifer said, well, you're always filming down here, you're never filming in Summerlin, and so it just made sense. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't I have an office where I'm always working? And so, yeah, we took the last space in there and ended up over the last few years carved out a, a neat little, you know, space, and it served us well. And now we've really outgrown it, but it was the catalyst, I would say, for in fact, staying in business. You know, there was a lot of times where jobs weren't coming in, and I really couldn't even afford the rent in Emergency Arts, and you know, it was just me by myself in that office, and I would think, well, man, I don't even, why am I even getting behind on rent? I don't need an office. But it's one of those things that kind of just keeps you going. Like, I need to keep getting jobs to keep paying the rent at my office, and by doing so, I think it probably saved me from shutting down or changing direction when I could have.
Just a reminder, I'm talking to Chris Ramirez, deeply involved in the film and TV production business in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Joe Shaneman, a writer for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. This is the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, The Source. You're down here now, and I wonder what it's been like to try to get some of these out-of-state companies interested in using your production services on films and TV. And tell listeners briefly what it is that a production service business does. A lot of people have no clue.
Yeah, so... So last year, after a few years of keeping Lola open, as we were talking about, then partnering, you know, with Tony Shea and Fred Mosler, gave me the opportunity to go in a couple of directions.
So you're not partners with Downtown Project?
No, not necessarily. We're a private investment with Tony and Fred that really, you know, to just sidetrack for a second, you know, we met just socially, you know, at the, you know, kind of before, I think, the announcement of Downtown Project. And we were, you know, I was already in it. I was already had an office on Fremont. I was already grinding it out. I was already always, you know, bringing commercials and movies down here. So thankfully, I think they just kind of saw something natural that was already going on. And I was about to shutter. I was about to close my doors. I was a few months behind on rent, and I had maybe a job opportunity at Disney, which, you know, years ago would have just probably been a dream. But now I think the reality of going to work for like a big company like that, you know, was a little bit frightening. And so, you know, I was at a real crossroads. And when I met those guys, they saw that, you know, I was kind of, you know, now that I see what Downtown Project is, and now that I see what's been built over the last few years, I think, you know, luckily they saw that me and when I had a few people working with me were already doing what I think they wanted to see happen. So they kept me afloat, and I decided to launch a different company than Lola, and which was Silver State Production Services. And so Silver State was going to really focus on all those jobs that were keeping the lights on. You know, as the Hangovers come in town, as the Disney's Race to Witch Mountains come to town, as the Range Rover commercials and the, you know, all these big things come to town, I had luckily created a good client list and a good reputation for doing locations. And a location scout is one of the first people hired on those. You know, I go start finding, you know, the hotel suites and the deserts and the motels and the streets and the, you know. And
they give you an idea of what they want, and then you go find it for them and show them photos and whatever.
Yep. Yeah. We'll you know, I'll read the script, whether it be a feature film script or a commercial script or a TV, you know, episode. You know, I think, and that's some of the first part of their process to see, are we going to be able to pull this off where it's written, you know, and if I write a, you know, if the director writes a big, you know, commercial scene that, you know, we did this big Heineken thing with Don King and Michael Madsen and blah, blah, blah. You know, if they write this big suite scene, can we film this in a real suite, or are we going to have to build it, or are we going to have to rewrite it? So it's one of the first people hired to kind of determine that. And so in doing that, I got to field a lot of inquiries about, hey, is there good cameramen here? Hey, is there good production assistants? Hey, are there good makeup people? Hey, where can we get this? Hey, where can we find that? So when they had the opportunity with Tony and Fred to expand in whichever direction, that they gave me the freedom to, you know, whether I wanted to go make a movie or go. And those are the things that I really, you know, that's my real passion, is to make our own movies.
So the production services, like we're talking about those ancillary things, yeah, you need on a set, the booms, the mics, the people to do the things. Your real
services is, right. is everything but the creative. It's
your
finding,
real drive though is the creative. That's what you want to do.
Sure, and but the nuts and bolts and what's
they keep the lights on.
Yeah, and what's luckily you know introduced us some you know I've worked with Steven Soderbergh and Todd Phillips and some really good you know production designers and costume designers and producers and that's all because of the production services side of the business, the locations, the crafty, the hiring of crew, the finding of gear, the so we've cemented the team. I have a guy that's ahead of it is named Mark Ballant and our production coordinator Amy Murphy and their team here have really created a brand that is being recognized. That's the focus of Silver State is helping those Warner Brothers and those commercials coming to town to crew them up locally, find gear locally, get as much dollars spent locally as we can.
And you've gained their trust. Obviously, how are things going in terms of moving into the more creative endeavor? More creative aspects of it.
It's now, you know, and again, luckily because of our, you know, growth with Silver State and having a good team, now I've been able to turn my focus back to Lola Pictures and developing some creative projects. And one of them is with someone, you know, and have mentioned Jonathan Hensley. And another one, or a few, you know, with Nicolas Cage, who's a local now that we're trying to produce and finance one of his scripts early next year. So that ball is really rolling. We have some cool projects. We have some book options that we're going after, that are all locally based about Las Vegas or about Northern Nevada. So we're getting very active in the development side now.
Now you mentioned Cage. A lot of people remember Nicolas Cage from, got innumerable movies. I can't even think of
Valley
one.
Girl,
Valley
Con
Girl,
Air.
Con Air. He
Wicker Man.
You and he both testified in the state legislature this year on behalf of the tax incentive program for production companies that come to Nevada. It passed. It's going to go into effect in January. I'm wondering what have you heard out of Southern California specifically in terms of whether or not that's going to draw new business here? Is there more interest? What are you hearing?
It's definitely going to help the industry and the state to attract business, and we hope obviously help the state once all the numbers are crunched and all the, you know, this is kind of a pilot program, you know, for these until legislature, you know, and I think in another four, we have 4 years. It's already gaining interest. I already am fielding a lot of calls from producers in other states, and as I go to meetings and trips to LA, you know, we constantly talk about it, and so it's already drumming up interest. And now the key will be, you know, it's still a small enough incentive to where it's not attracting huge interest from like the Warner Brothers and the Universals and stuff, but it's attracting, you know, independent films and TV stuff. And so if we can show that it works and we can convince the state to increase it when the 4 years is up, that's when I think just, you know, we'll become like a New Mexico or North Carolina where we can build really big studios and some of these, you know, people in LA, some of the studio partners in LA will plant some flags here.
Well, now you mentioned Jonathan Hensley as well. Some people might just know his name. He's the owner actually of the downtown, a part owner of the Griffin downtown on Fremont Street, which is right across from the Emergency Arts Building. He's also director and a screenwriter. You've heard of Die Hard 2, Jumanji, The Punisher,
Armageddon.
He's a frequent visitor downtown. He has a place in the Ogden, the high rise right at Ogden and 6th. Are you two working on something right now? You worked on a commercials for the D and the Golden Gate.
Yeah, so Jonathan and I have, you know, and again, this is, I think, the uniqueness of downtown. And Jonathan and I, you know, met bar hopping, you know, years ago down here. And
Jonathan drinks?
He might. And so, you know, we just had fun. We just hit it off. Funny story is he wrote and directed The Punisher, the one with John Travolta and my first tattoo when I was a little kid. I have a ton of Punisher tattoo on my arm, and so I we just laughed about that, how random that was, and then you know, it wasn't till maybe a year later he was in the Beat drinking coffee, and I was going into my office, and you know, we just started talking about what we do, and he came in my office, and I was working on a really cool movie called The Motel Life. I was just leaving to go up to Reno to do, and he knew the directors and the producers, and so we just kind of started more cementing, you know, our relationship as industry guys, I guess, and wanted to work together, and that was back in like 2010, and we wanted to, so we noodled around, you know, trying to get a something Las Vegas based going together, and now flash forward, Jonathan directed a couple of casino commercials that I produced this spring, and he's doing another one next week for us, and now we are going into Lionsgate Studios in a few weeks to pitch a Las Vegas television series that that A, I think is really cool, but B, could just be really big for the state and really big for the city if we can get this off the ground, and it would mean a ton of work and a ton of visibility for this city.
That's really exciting. Actually, he mentioned that to me recently. I tried to pry the theme and the idea here.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it, he said, until he's got a contract signed. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, you know, it's these are precarious times of the incubation of a TV series or movies, and yeah, we got to just keep everything tight, and we want to see this happen.
Now, additionally, just yesterday, somebody told me they'd seen a sizzle reel for a reality TV show based on people who live downtown, and it's something you'll have to tell me your involvement. But first of all, what's a sizzle reel?
The term sizzle reel, you know, I guess gets used a lot in reality. Mostly, it's a few minutes of tape on whatever your subject is to kind of highlight what the series could be about. So, if I was pitching a show on the Gold Spike, I would do, you know, a few minute sizzle reel on all the personalities and what goes on a daily basis, and you know, you add a lot of flash and music and make it fun. It's like a movie trailer. Actually, it's like a movie trailer. You want to get people to know more.
Okay. All right. That's understandable. And secondly, what is it? Well, tell me a little bit about what you're trying to capture. What would this, is this like real world Las Vegas? What is it?
Well, I mean, first let me, you know, preface with, I'm not a big fan of reality. We don't do a lot of reality. We've been very selective in the couple of sizzles or pilots that I've ever done in the past, or people I've worked with in the past. And so, you know, with that being said, I'm also pretty protective of downtown, as some may know, and to a fault. And I knew, like, you know, I had some ideas and about how cool something would be and how, what a unique atmosphere I was witnessing, you know, growing around me, and but I didn't want to take advantage of it. You know, I felt like they were family and friends, and I didn't want to act like I was profiting off that. And you know, and then some reality producers from another network were kind of snooping around and trying to get access, and you know, and I get a little guarded about that. And so that you know, I just started talking about, hey, you know, if something's going to happen, let's make sure it's done the right way. Let's make sure the story is told from the right people. And you know, this is a critical time for downtown, and a lot of people are invested in it. And you don't want to show off the wrong thing, but you also don't want to be fake and say, hey, it's all fluff and all great. You know, so anyway, we started talking to a handful of locals and people who are living the life down here, and got a good cross section of what these people are trying to accomplish and where they came from, and so we put some tape together to see if it would work, and so far we haven't sent it out anywhere, but just within our group, people like it, so we're gonna, you know, probably keep doing it. We're gonna you know, keep going forward and keep shooting a little bit and see what comes of it, and try to keep control of it so we can tell the story that we want, you know, to that degree.
Now, reality TV show, I know a million shows have been shot in Vegas. I've known people involved in the shows before. A lot of it's scripted. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what this is too?
No, not at all. I mean, I honestly, I don't watch, I just can't even imagine some of that stuff exists on TV. And so, yeah, I don't want to put anything out like that. And I'll be honest, I think even some of the tape that we've gotten so far, it could come across like that almost because it's everybody's pretty happy with where they're at in their life right now. And that sounds, you know, like BS. And so we almost want to now kind of go back and dig some more and not dig for drama, but dig for risk and dig for what did you give up to follow this passion and that kind of thing. So, I mean, we're definitely not going for, hey, let's put these two girls in a room and watch them fight. It's more like if your boutique clothing store fails.
I thought you were going to say something else. Let's put these two girls.
Yeah, of course you would.
So, well, this is Vegas.
No, this is the Joe Downtown show. That's why. But so it's more about, hey, if your clothing boutique doesn't work, what does that mean to you? And hey, if you left everything, you know, back, you know, in the Midwest to come out here, and because you love this feeling of this community, you know, what does that mean to you? And so we're really trying to show more of that risk than fabricated drama.
And once you get this reel done, who gets it? What do you do with it? Is this something you want to put on the internet?
Yeah,
TV? I mean, what do you do?
The initial thought was doing it with a local media partner that is very involved in downtown and has a good downtown brand. And so yeah, we've been talking about keeping it within their media outlets so that we can kind of more control it. I think that the worry to, I know a little bit about the business, so when you hand over, you know, your cast and your idea and a network signs onto it, they kind of want to do whatever they can with it. So we're conscious of keeping some control to it, but we also know that if the opportunity came around and somebody, you know, that could put us on cable in the right spot and with the right control and our cast was all into it, we would entertain it. So we'll see. We're really just kind of like seeing where it goes.
That sounds fascinating. It'll undoubtedly be interesting even to those of us who live here and know a lot of Vegas stories.
Yeah, we think so.
Now, a lot of other companies are moving into town, I take it, or like you said, there's at least reality TV shows out of LA coming and dropping down, doing parachuting in, seeing if they can grab something. Is anybody else trying to set up shop the same way you have?
I don't know. I mean, you hear things, but
I know there's some in the porn industry, but I'm talking about
other. I mean, it depends on which degree. Like, you know, like let's say with Silver State and what they do, there's some companies out of LA that are eyeing, you know, the market here, and we have a good relationship with some of them, so we're also talking about how can we, you know, maybe partner up on some things like that. And then on the development side and like the reality and the movies, there's people hungry to get, you know, there's always a market for Las Vegas, so there's people trying to dig up stories and get scripts financed and get reality shows pitched, and that's always going on. That'll never change, you know, luckily, because that's what we're in the business of too.
Well, we've been talking with Chris Ramirez, the founder of Lola Pictures and Silver State Productions, who's now involved in creating a reality TV series, a real reality TV show about downtown Las Vegas and some really other interesting projects. I would say keep your eye out to see if his TV show idea with he and a famous director out of Hollywood comes to fruition pretty soon. This has been the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, The Source. I'm Joe Shaneman, writer for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Joe.